is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome to the Wednesday show on December 28th. Adam, Dave, and Jamie here. Again, Heath is on vacation this week. I'm sure he's doing some work from home, but he is not podcasting this week. So we're going to talk about 2016, sort of a bit of a year in review, a little bit of week 17 stuff, but Thursday and Friday will be a ton of start and sit for those of you playing in week 17. And good morning, Dave and Jamie. What's up?
Yo.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, hello. So is anybody resting their starters other than the Steelers? I mean, we keep seeing people saying they're not going to rest their starters. What's going on?
I think you're getting rest with starters confused with starting their starters and then pulling them at a certain point in the game.
Okay, well, Jerry Jones said Ezekiel Elliott's going to play a lot. The Giants said, but Rashad Jennings at least said, business as usual, and offensively they need to get it going. What's your take?
I think it'd be stupid if those teams played their guys.
It might be, but, I mean, look, like the Giants would say, our offense has been terrible, we need to improve, and that's more important than resting guys.
And they've done that in the past. Coughlin specifically did that. Remember the meaningless game against the Patriots when the Patriots were going for.
But that was, I think, more so to try and play spoiler to the Patriots. And
no,
give them
no.
I don't know.
I remember I was at that game. That was the last game I went to before this year when I went to the Monday night game, and I saw the Patriots go 16-0, which was really cool. They did that because they wanted to get a little momentum. They didn't want to just back down, get a little momentum going into the playoffs. And I could see the Giants offensively. Like I said yesterday, I think defensively they're more likely to rest some guys because they're banged up. But offensively, I could see them kind of going for it this week.
You lose an offensive lineman. You lose Odell Beckham to a guy that's had hamstring issues.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it would be a good idea.
Stupid.
I'm just saying I could see it happening. But you guys will not rank it it that way?
Not yet.
Okay. And what about the Cowboys? With the talk about them kind of also going for it this week?
Well, there's a report that they're going to make Mark Sanchez active and put Tony Romo as inactive, which would lead you to believe that they're going to play Sanchez. Why else would they do that? So if you're going to take Dak off the field, why are you going to leave Ezekiel Elliott out there? Or Dez Bryant? Especially now that your left tackle's out.
Right. And Ezekiel Elliott 178 yards away from Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record. And the Steelers,
you're not going to get there.
Yeah, you're not going to, probably not. The Steelers with Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell, they're not going to play much. What's up with D'Angelo Williams?
I don't know. I mean, I read a story yesterday that said that it was going to be him if they rest Bell. And then I read another story after our show that suggests that it's going to be Toussaint. So, hard to say.
We're going to take a look at the most added list and see who people added. All right, but today's going to be fun. So we ended yesterday's show talking about who was a bigger bust, Todd Gurley or DeAndre Hopkins. I asked the Twitter followers who was the biggest bust in 2016, and Todd Gurley appears to be the winner here. But we do have more nominees other than just Gurley and Hopkins, and we can talk about the biggest busts. We are going to talk about what we did right, what we did wrong in 2016. And, you know, they say that if you make the playoffs, you did well. To win a championship, you got to get lucky. And I want to know if you guys agree with that. We actually have a lot more, too. More news and notes. The Bills fired Rex Ryan already.
You said that like in an excited voice, like you're happy.
No, I'm not happy. I'm sorry. I should.
Everybody. Rex Ryan gets the axe. He's unemployed.
The Bills fired Rex Ryan.
They fired Rob Ryan, too. You're not excited about that?
Well, no, I'm not excited. I mean, it's good that the brothers can hang out together, I suppose.
Hey, you know everyone, Fat Santa got fired from Buffalo. Yeah.
The funny thing is that the Bills fire both Ryans. The Rams keep Jeff Fisher's son on the staff when they fired him as well.
Yeah.
And the Jaguars kept Gus's son, too, Milton.
Oh, really? Oh, Milton. I was like, what? But also, they're benching Tyrod Taylor for EJ Manuel.
Yeah, that's smart.
What do you guys... Well, I mean, they're doing that
because... I
guess
the Bills aren't going for it in Week 17.
Well, they're doing it because of the... If Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, his contract becomes guaranteed for injury. They lose a lot of money on that.
Yeah, so it sounds like they don't want to pay Tyrod Taylor.
they don't want it to be locked in, that's for sure. But how, what does this do for Sammy Watkins?
Hurts him. A little bit. Not too much.
Right. So Manuel started two games last year. He actually scored 22 fantasy points against the Bengals and 20 fantasy points at Jacksonville. And Watkins only played one of those games. He did catch a touchdown in that game. He missed the second game. Charles Clay led the team in receiving with 9 catches for 62 yards in the first game. but then he had only 3 catches for 26 in the second. So I'll actually throw this out there. I mean, is EJ Manuel, if you're the Roethlisberger owner or the Eli owner, or just don't like your quarterback this week, is EJ Manuel now a Week 17 sleeper?
Given the matchup, yeah.
Which is gross. It's so gross. But look, the Jets are terrible. Their run defense is the best part of their defense. Their pass defense is atrocious. They can't cover tight ends in the red zone. EJ Manuel is not a total, what's a word?
He's not Matt Castle. Podcast.
Well, I don't know. I don't think he's too far off that.
Look, he was a first round pick. He can still play a little bit. We just don't know.
I don't think he's going to make a total jerk of himself out there on the field.
Are you starting Sammy Watkins over Odell Beckham?
As of now, yes.
Yes.
Are you starting Watkins over Malcolm? Oh, boop, back to back for Dave. I was going to say Malcolm Mitchell. Who do you like better, Mitchell or Watkins?
I think I put Mitchell higher.
Yeah, I'll start Mitchell over him. I haven't adjusted my rankings yet, but yeah, I'll start Mitchell over him. Right. I'd still start Watkins over both Broncos and both Raiders.
Both Broncos and both Raiders. All right, yeah, because you got the quarterback situations there. Jordan Reed is going to play this week. Where will you be ranking Jordan Reed?
Are we sure he's going to play this week? Or is this going to be another one of those he's on the field for 10 snaps and doesn't do anything?
Yeah, I mean, though, hopefully the rest did him well. So we'll see. He practices all week. Top 12, where Vernon Davis is.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Okay. Cameron Brate will not play this week. Melvin Gordon will be a game time decision, and Luke Kuechly will not play. And that brings me to the most added list. The most added list, let's go to number 2 first, because we talked about running backs that have an opportunity to have a big week this week. And we mentioned D'Angelo Williams, Alex Collins. Alex Collins is the number one running back, number one most added player right now. We mentioned Alfred Blue and Darren McFadden. We talked about Jacquizz Rodgers, but I kind of feel like we didn't give Jacquizz Rodgers quite enough credit, because when he's gotten work, 4 games this year where he's gotten a lot of carries, and he's
with 15 carries.
What's the, how many?
4 games with 15 carries. He's gotten at least 12 fantasy points.
Yeah, he's been good every single time, and he scores. So
yeah, no, I think he's going to do it again.
Is he better than Alex Collins?
I think he's safer.
Who would you start, Dave? Collins or Jacquizz?
Collins.
Collins. What's the deal with Thomas Rawls?
Still don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so Quiz, we should highlight, is a very good option.
I think the one thing that's for the people that do have Thomas Rawls, because obviously you'd like to start him against the 49ers, they haven't signed a running back yet. Hmm. They did sign a wide receiver to replace Tyler Lockett.
Are you going to trust Rawls if he starts?
Against San Francisco? Absolutely.
Yes. But he's got to practice a little bit this week.
Yeah, that's the key.
I feel like there's a better chance of Rawls leaving with an injury than not playing well if he plays the whole game. He's always injured. Very frustrating.
What, twice?
Okay, the rest of the most added list is Alex Collins 1, Fitz Toussaint 2, Jacquizz Rodgers, Alfred Blue, Adam Thielen, and then you're talking about guys who are being added in 1 or 2% of leagues. Gary Barnage, Charles Clay, D'Angelo Williams. Sharkhandrick West. Sharkhandrick West, we didn't really talk about him. What if Spencer Ware is out? How would you feel about Sharkhandrick West against the Chargers?
Top 24 guy.
Yeah, a little bit by default.
Worse than Jacquizz Rodgers and Alex Collins?
Yes.
All right. A lot of running back options out there. Who are some of your favorite sleepers this week?
Well, you talked about Collins. I think he's in that mix.
Rodgers?
Rodgers, sure. At receiver, it's still guys that we talked about yesterday. Meredith, Thielen, J.J. Nelson.
Marquise Lee.
Marquise Lee is another good one.
You got to feel good about that Marquise Lee quarterback. Coming around, right? Adam?
Do I feel good about him now?
Yeah, I mean, this is what you hoped for when you were touting him years ago.
I called him the best wide receiver in that draft class, which I said before the draft, and that included Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins.
I mean, look, he's already moved past one of the guys who was better than him.
Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I'm not sure he's better than Allen Robinson.
He's Mark better Easley, than him this year.
All right, hey, you know what? I did a Twitter poll yesterday, and I said, who would you rather have next year? Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, or Marquise Lee? Who do you think won?
Lee.
Thielen.
You both are wrong.
Diggs.
Diggs won, and it was pretty decisive. He got 59% of the vote. Adam Thielen got 26% of the vote. Marquise Lee got 15% of the vote. I don't know, man. Like, I like Marquise Lee, but you look at his numbers, he's not doing that much. You know? You're lucky to get 70 yards out of him.
I think the thing for him, and this is going to be dependent on the new coach, is what kind of offense they're going to run. Because if they're smart, and, you know, according to some people who know that team, they're going to move on from Julius Thomas. So you like to see more three-receiver sets and consistently, because I think that's their talent with Robinson, Lee, and Hearns. And so play to your talent and improve the offensive line a little bit. Bortles looked great last week, you know, so if that's the guy that can, you know, pick up from that game and hopefully get some better coaching, then you could have a really fun offense.
Well, that's the thing about Bortles. He had such a bad year that I could see Robinson obviously bouncing back. I think a lot of people are going to expect that, but I could see Lee's numbers going up too if Bortles just gets that damn throwing motion right and things go better for them. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about Lee because I do think he's a good player, and apparently he can throw a pretty good pass as well. But who would you guys take next year, Diggs, Thielen, or Lee?
Well, with the two Minnesota guys, it's the quarterback situation. You know, who's going to be the guy there? Because if it's a healthy Bridgewater at 100%, you could say that Diggs has the most upside.
Yeah.
But if it's Bradford again, because, you know, Bridgewater's not ready, they have to fix the offensive line. They have, you know, running back situation to figure out. There's so much going on with that team.
Which Minnesota wide receiver would you prefer? Because that's probably not going to change depending on the quarterback.
I think people will go after Diggs.
He still has the most upside.
I just feel like we've gotten another year of him where he's flashed just enough for him to actually hurt your fantasy team because he has these great games.
I just don't think.
And then when you're comfortable starting him, he's Dudsville.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's fair for either him or Thielen, because what did Thielen do early in the season? Nothing. I mean, why was he not on the field? And this is another, you know, the one thing
they had,
I think,
Charles Johnson on the field.
But the one thing, and that's what I was about to say. The one thing I think that's nice about Diggs is we've gone through this, what, 3 years in a row with an outside receiver showing us something at some points. Mm-hmm. For the Vikings and Diggs as well, but you know, Johnson and Patterson and now Thielen's having this night stretch. Do they have the quarterback play, whoever it's been, to consistently support an outside guy?
No, because they had Adrian Peterson in their backfield.
Yeah, but 2 years ago it wasn't.
They only had one receiver, I believe, have 1,000 yards when AP was there and doing his thing.
Was that Rice?
Yeah, Sidney Rice was that guy
with Favre.
And this is a strike against Thielen, is Laquon Treadwell could end up making a step forward in his second season. He did nothing this year. They weren't comfortable putting him out there. He wasn't ready to go. He's not a burner, but he's got big body, big hands, should be, you know, a possession receiver plus for them. And if he's out there doing his thing on the outside, that'll probably hurt Thielen way more than it'll hurt Diggs.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather have Lee.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You talked yourself into it.
It's more talking myself out of the Minnesota guy. Diggs has the most potential, but Lee, I think, is not far behind and has probably a higher floor.
Just so we don't completely neglect Week 17 on today's show, are there any other sleepers that you really like this week? I have a feeling this is a pretty tough week for you guys, just like trying to figure out who's going to be resting and...
It's tough in that sense. I mean, the nice thing is there's a lot of pressure off of us because there's not a lot of people playing. So usually the people who are playing, like I had a couple friends ask me questions yesterday, and their teams are pretty well set. You know, so it's like if you've gotten to this point, like I have one buddy who's got two leagues that play into week 17. They're both 2 week finals. He's got Ezekiel Elliott in one and Le'Veon Bell in another. And I was talking him through guys off the waiver that we talked about yesterday. You know, McFadden and Collins, and he picked up Alfred Blue in one, Jacquizz Rodgers in another. So. You know, there are guys at least at that spot that can help you. You know, the nice thing about it is Roethlisberger is a guy that you've kind of been in and out of your lineup. You know, at least you've been listening to us on the road. Two games prior to last week, played last week. You know, you probably find some options. And that receiver, look, it's just one of those things where it's tough to replace an Antonio Brown or an Odell Beckham or Dez Bryant. But you know, that's a position that we just rattled off. You know, six or seven names, and going back to yesterday, you know, same thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at week 17 from last year, and you can look at Pro Football Reference and each week, and they'll give you the leaders. And I'm thinking this is sorted by passer rating. Your top five quarterbacks based on passer rating were Kirk Cousins, who threw three touchdowns in 15 passes at Dallas, Cam Newton, Colt McCoy, who came in, what? I can't believe that, but he threw 11 passes, 7 for 11, 128 yards and a touchdown. He came in for Kirk Cousins. Wow, Dallas was terrible that week. Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford. Your top five wide receivers in this is sorted by yards. Antonio Brown, Terrence Williams, Zach Ertz. This is not wide receivers, just receivers. Zach Ertz, Julio Jones, and Calvin Johnson. So you have Brown, Julio, Calvin Johnson, you have Terrence Williams there too. How about your top five rushing yards leaders? Rashad Jennings, Ronnie Hillman, Alfred Blue, Kristen Michael, Alfred Morris. That could be similar to this year, you know? The wide receivers maybe won't be that different, but the running backs could be completely different.
A couple of names on that list could be the same.
You also forgot
Alfred
about
Morris and Alfred Blue again.
Forgot who?
You forgot a bunch of quarterbacks.
Like who?
Kellen Moore threw for 435 yards and three touchdowns with two interceptions in that game against Washington.
Wow.
Blaine Gabbert had 354 yards for the 49ers against the then St. Louis Rams. Tannehill had 350 and two. Big Ben, who had something to play for at Cleveland, 349, 3-2.
Josh Johnson, Dave, fire it up.
Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, Sam Bradford, Eli Manning, they all had over 300 yards.
A lot of offense.
Matt Stafford, not to be outdone, had 298 and three at Chicago.
Calvin Johnson's last game?
Yep.
So, who was the biggest bust in 2016?
Todd Gurley,
the Bonanza, Team Name Tuesday, Cam Newton, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, Adrian Peterson, Allen Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin, Adam being on the Vikings bandwagon, Jamal Charles, Jeremy Langford, some robot party on Twitter, nice name there. Other than the obvious, Jeremy Langford, I thought that was a pretty good answer too. There are different ways you can approach the bust. I think, you know, some people clarified. Peterson, if you're including injuries. Gurley, if you're not. And I would almost say that Gurley was a bigger bust either way because at least you didn't have to start Peterson. You kept starting Todd Gurley, at least for a while, and he was bad.
You got to take injuries out of the equation because it's just unfortunate luck because you'd say Jamal Charles, too, would be a bust.
Yeah, he was.
As well. And look, you could qualify Eddie Lacy as a bust because he played, what, six games? And he was bad in those five, six games, but also he got hurt. So, like, if you're doing, like, an all-bust team, Cam would be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Gurley would be one running back. The two receivers are easy. It's Robinson and Hopkins.
Yeah.
The tight end, you can pick any number of the Gronk with the injury again. Jordan Reed.
I think it's Reed.
You could even say Greg Olsen was a bust. You know, he had a few games where he flashed, but...
How about Kobe Fleener?
Fleener's an easy one, yeah.
You can't really say Olsen, because he's the number two tight end in fantasy.
Yeah, but I guess it's just been a down year for the position. So, yeah. Fleener would be the tight end bust. I don't know who the second running back would be.
Langford is a good call. Rawls, like those mid-round guys who just stunk. CJ Anderson was bad after week one, pretty much. And he scored a couple times.
Yeah, but he got hurt. You know, I think I would say somebody had to play at least 10 games to be a bust.
Okay.
So even Langford doesn't really qualify.
Doug Martin, is he going to get there? He'll be close.
Probably get nine games. Yeah. He's in the conversation.
Eddie Lacy?
Ingram?
Or are we going to give Lacy the injury?
Yeah.
Bailout? Yeah, I mean, who knows if he would have bounced back. I mean, it wasn't headed that way, but
he's too big to bounce.
Dude, Ingram is averaging over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's been very yo-yo-ish.
He has been.
Great games, it kind of hasn't been his fault, though, because there's been some games where he's only had like 7 carries.
Sure. But,
that's,
you know,
just
again,
Sean Payton tomfoolery.
If you were coming off of last year and seeing how well Tim Hightower played, you could have made an argument that was going to happen again.
Huh. And then, the wide receivers, those two guys are like, Hopkins and Robinson are so similar in so many ways, including they were both top six wide receivers last year. They have the same amount of targets this year. And almost the same stats, except Robinson has 6 touchdowns and Hopkins has 4 touchdowns. Hopkins has 71 catches. Allen Robinson has 68 catches. Hopkins has 831 yards. Robinson has 801 yards. And they both have 139 targets. Again, Robinson with 6 touchdowns, Hopkins with 4, so he's been slightly better. But we're talking about the number 40 wide receiver in Hopkins, number 32 in Robinson, and in PPR, both a little bit better than that. And you know what else is interesting? You look at those 139 targets, 2 other wide receivers have that exact amount, both of them the Denver wide receivers. And you look at Hopkins and Robinson, they're at 831 and 801 yards respectively. And Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are both comfortably over 1,000 yards on the same amount of targets. So, yeah, I mean, what went wrong with Hopkins and Robinson? Can we just blame it on the quarterback? What do you think?
Well, I think with Robinson, it's on the... I'm sorry, with Hopkins, it's on the quarterback. You know, it's hard to say that he fell off this much for any other reason in that majority. Now, they did add other players around him, which certainly lends to the lack of production. They had a consistent running game this year with Lamar Miller, at least more so than last year. They have, you know, a very talented rookie who, you know, showed some things and then fell off, but Will Fuller took away some production early on. And then the other guys, I mean, Braxton Miller had some production. The tight ends played well at times with Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin. But, I mean, if you had 16 games of Brian Hoyer, would Hopkins be a little bit better, dramatically better? I think just the word there, better, would probably be apropos.
He'd be at least a little bit better.
Yeah, he'd probably be around the Denver guys.
Yeah, you know, I remember, Jamie, you were laying out reasons to avoid DeAndre Hopkins, at least as the number 4 wide receiver in the beginning of the year. And one of the things you said, you talked about the running game, you talked about adding the players, everything you just said now, but you also said you look at second half of the season for Hopkins, and the targets went down, and the production went down, and I think we calculated it and said, based on his last 8 games last year, when he stopped getting a ton of targets, mm-hmm. you know, still a lot, but not an overwhelming amount, he was closer to the number 10 wide receiver than the number 4 wide receiver in fantasy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty close to where Hopkins and Sanders are right now, by the way. They're like the top 15. I think they're around 13th or so. So yeah, okay, that's maybe where people will value him next year. What happened with Robinson?
Kind of the same thing, because he was on pace for as many targets as he had last year. He wasn't catching as many, made a lot of mental mistakes, had a lot of drops, and didn't have as many opportunities to score, I don't think, compared to last year. And he also had quarterback issues.
Last year for him, though, I don't want to say it's fluky, but you have to look at it and say it was fluky.
Because they were playing from behind so much.
No, not just, I mean, just his overall numbers. I mean, the targets by comparison to the production, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what his targets were, but like Allen Hurns was catching a touchdown every 10 targets. And so Robinson was, what do you have, 14 touchdowns? Do you have his targets in front of you, Adam?
I got it.
Yeah, I think it was probably around the same rate. He had
14 touchdowns, 151 targets.
Yeah.
80 catches, 1,400 yards.
Right. So I think it's, you know, the way I approached him this year was I thought the catches would go up a little bit. I thought the yards and touchdowns would go down. So I thought he'd be more involved, you know, in the 20s. But like Dave said, the mental mistakes, you know, we talk to Pete Prisco all the time because he, you know, not necessarily covers the Jaguars, but he's around them all the time living in Jacksonville. And he said, you know, the complaint with him out there is that he can't beat additional coverage. You know, so whenever he sees a second guy over the top or you know, they're rolling guys in his direction, he hasn't learned how to beat that yet. And that's typically what you see for guys in their third year, and he just hasn't gotten there yet. Maybe it's because Bortles has brought him down, the offensive system has brought him down, you know, just whatever the case may be. Look, and they found another option as well, you know, to sort of supplement Hurns at times and Hopkins at times with Marquise Lee.
But Hurns had a better year last year than Lee's having this year. And Thomas was better last year than he was this year. So it's really baffling.
Well, Bortles was also better last year.
Bortles was much better. Yeah, look, you want to know the wide receiver touchdown leaders from last year? Marshall, Allen Robinson, Baldwin, they all had 14. Beckham had 13. Decker had 12. Hopkins had 11. Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, Allen Hurds, and Ted Ginn had 10. So a lot of those guys really fell off this year. I don't know if that means anything going forward, but obviously we know touchdowns can be a little bit fluky.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll be two prime, you know, buy low, bounce back candidates. Buy low in terms of where you'll be able to get them.
All right, those are the busts. We'll go forward, and we're going to talk about some great players. I want to know the top six going into next year for Dave and for Jamie. Obviously, those three running backs will be up there. Will there be a fourth running back in the top six? We will talk about that in a moment. More injuries, news, and notes. Good news for Tom Brady this week. Bad news, really bad news for the Dolphins. They've already lost one of their starting safeties earlier in the year, their best player, Rashad Jones. Now their other starting safety, Issa Abdul-Kaddous, out for the season with a neck injury hit for that defense. Boy, they're either going to Pittsburgh or to Houston in the first round of the playoffs. One's a win, one's a loss. I want you guys to, you and the two of you, especially you, Dave, Big Kane, two, one. 5:30 p.m. today, you sit down and you watch David Njoku play tight end for the Miami Hurricanes, and then you get excited about drafting him in your fantasy drafts next year. This guy is freaking unbelievable. Your next Pro Bowl tight end, people, David Njoku.
We have done this to Lamar Miller. We've done it to Philip Dorsett. We've done it to Duke Johnson. We did it to an extent to Clive Walford.
I never did it to Philip Dorsett or Duke Johnson. And who was the first one you said?
Lamar Miller.
I loved Lamar Miller, yeah. But I did not. I never liked Duke Johnson.
I don't want to race to touting a hurricane again.
This guy is so good. He's so good. Oh,
you guys have such a great track record with tight ends.
It's true. It's true. Even Eric Swope is getting into the action. Do you expect the following players? Chris Ivory.
No. Sounds like Denard Robinson is going to play, though.
Oh. Dante Moncrief.
No.
No.
Thomas Rawls. We're not sure. Matt Forte?
No.
Rob Kelly?
Yes.
Spencer Ware?
Yes.
Theo Riddick?
He sounds might. Like it.
I hope so. Kenny Britt?
No.
Gonna say no.
Brandon Marshall?
Britt, by the way, had a career year this year.
Yep.
Over 1,000 yards, first time ever.
Marshall, no.
You guys think the Lions have any chance on Sunday night?
Sure.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
They're playing in the game, aren't they?
But I'm not going to pick him to win.
No.
I think they've got a chance.
Is Darius Slay playing?
I hope so.
They have no chance. Oh, we're rooting for the Lions.
What?
No, I don't care.
He is. He's a Giants guy.
I'm rooting for a good game. I don't care.
What would be great, honestly, and no disrespect to the Redskins fans, I just think the Lions almost deserve to be there based on how their season has gone, and I want to see the Packers in the playoffs. So I think it would be fun if those two teams actually got in.
So if the Redskins lose, they both get in, right?
Right. Yes. Well, there's a lot of crazy things where Tampa Bay still gets in, but
Tampa Bay can only get in if a number of things happen, including the Giants and Redskins tying. They have to tie. So right. Tampa Bay is not getting in. Hey, listen, I did two drafts yesterday. It's week 17. I'm doing drafts. I did that on the draft app. One was against Heath. We're 1-1, by the way, in our head-to-heads. One was against the listener.
The rubber match this week.
Yeah, big time. Now the draft is obviously the best part of fantasy football, and you want to keep doing it. So download the draft app. Just search draft in the app store. It's going to come up first. Start playing this awesome new daily fantasy game and use our promo code FF today when you download draft. If you use FF today, you're going to get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit FF today. I like draft because I'm not competing against thousands of people. It's smaller contests with snake drafts, which are obviously a lot of fun. Only takes a few minutes, and your chances of winning money on draft are almost 3 times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. Search draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. Enter the promo code FF today when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. So again, search draft in the App Store and use the promo code FF today. You know, they say, guys, that if you make the playoffs, you did well. If you won the championship, you got lucky. It's kind of an old fantasy football adage. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it for years, so.
I still think there's skill involved in the championship weeks.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, it's
like, what's the difference?
The difference is it's you're playing against the best competition in your league. So you're not playing those fluky games against the, you know, the.
But there's fluky performances.
Sure. But it's also like we get to this point in the season, like, you know, you have situations last week where guys may not be playing 100% for whatever reason because they're injured at this point in the year.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's well, true. I think the theory behind that little slogan, you're good if you make the playoffs, lucky to win, is that over 13 weeks, if you do well enough to make the playoffs, then you obviously have a good team. But you get into the fantasy playoffs, anything can happen on a week-to-week basis. It's not a true judgment of your team. And that's why you have to get lucky to win two or three straight games. And there's something to that.
Sure.
But I think that if you look at my fantasy teams, I made a lot of playoffs. I only won one of nine leagues. And I think that's because I had a lot of good teams, but not a lot of great teams. And I had some Julio Jones and some Melvin Gordon that kind of screwed me at the end. But even still, like, everybody's got injuries. And I do think that strategy played a part of it, which I'll get into. I'll get into it right now. And it was this, you know, it was a big topic of discussion. This was probably the biggest fantasy theme going into 2016. The whole running backs versus wide receivers at the early stages of the draft. And it will be obviously revisited this year or next year because the running backs at the top blew away the wide receivers at the top this year, which is in a complete flip from last year. And I went wide receiver heavy. I did not have one team. This is why I went to the playoffs a lot and did not win that many leagues. I did not have one team with David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, or Le'Veon Bell. I drafted Zeke in one league and I traded him for Beckham in a PPR league. I regret it. And that was it. I mean, so I don't know that I necessarily regret it, cuz I drafted some real good safe wide receivers, did well, you know, and I didn't expect the running backs to have this kind of year. Those three guys and even McCoy just below them are having unreal seasons. Like, they're so much better than DeMarco Murray was 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, that's my take. You know, I didn't have any of those three guys. If you hit on a running back, he's still going to be better than a wide receiver in fantasy.
Well, I guess the question would be is if you hit on those three running backs.
I guess there's
the,
more.
I guess the four. It's the four guys who were drafted in the first two rounds because McCoy was drafted at the back end of round two.
Okay, but I would put DeMarco Murray in.
But he wasn't there because you could say the same thing about Melvin Gordon because Murray and Gordon were basically hand in hand.
But if it. Getting them helped your team.
Agreed. Getting them, but it's also where you draft them, because there are plenty of people who could have drafted Murray and Gordon with one of the, let's say, four or five receivers who hit in the first two rounds.
Yeah. Hey, Jamie. So, you know, let me just make one last point. I'll throw it over to you because
that's fair.
I didn't have any of those three running backs: Zeke, Bell, and Johnson. I also didn't have Adrian Peterson.
But that's what I was going to get at.
I didn't have Gurley.
Right.
I didn't have Lamar Miller, who I consider a bust. So that's, you know, I don't know that I necessarily regret the strategy, just the way it worked out, not having one of those three running backs, your chances of winning your league wasn't as good.
No, it's really if you hit on, and again, the guys who were drafted in the first round consistently were Gurley, Peterson, Johnson, Lamar Miller, Elliott, and I think still Jamal Charles ended up there by the end of the. I know it changed at the very tail end, you know, when he, you know, was put on the pup list, but, you know, he still was in that conversation, and maybe even Eddie Lacy too, you know. So there's a handful of guys that were kind of disappointing, you know. I mean, Miller is not. I don't think you could qualify him as a bust, but he didn't have the.
He didn't deliver what you thought.
Exactly. He didn't produce at the level we hoped for, but. I mean, yeah, Peterson with the injury, Charles with the injury, Gurley being bad, you know, so there's guys in that mix that, you know, you could have still taken one of those receivers. And, you know, I think we, you know, kind of just necessarily leave it to the three guys of Brown, Beckham, and Julio, but Jordy was in the first 20 picks. He was great.
Yeah, he was.
Mike Evans was great.
Jordy's the number one wide receiver in standard and just behind, Brown in PPR.
Right. You know, AJ Green before he got hurt was great. You know, so those guys delivered. Like, I know, I didn't win any leagues, but I had, I think, five where I was the highest scoring team, and I had none of those running backs.
Okay.
It was all based on getting Melvin Gordon in the majority of those. But it was wide receiver heavy. And I would do the same thing again based on where it ended up for me. Now, obviously, I'm going to take those three running backs to the top of the draft, but I have no problem taking receivers very close, you know, after those guys.
Right. So let me give these pretty eye-opening numbers. Points per game. Just searching through my notes. But if you look at the top four running backs, okay, points per game in standard scoring leagues, they go from David Johnson, 20.7 points per game, Le'Veon, 19.2, Zeke, 18.7, and then McCoy, 16.9. But from 18.7 to 20.7, Johnson, Bell, Zeke, 1, 2, 3. And running and wide receivers, Antonio Brown and Jordy Nelson are tied at 12.9 points per game. 12.9 points per game in standard scoring. David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott are all 18.7 to 20.7. So a huge difference. So what about PPR? Well, keep in mind, Bell and Johnson are catching a ton of passes. But Johnson's at 25.8 points per game, Bell at 25.5 points per game, Elliott 20.8 points per game, LeSean McCoy 20.4 points per game. They're all over 20 points per game. Your number one wide receiver in PPR is Antonio Brown, 19.9 points per game. So all four of those running backs on a per game basis have been better than Antonio Brown, even in PPR, and so much better, 6 to 8 points better in standard. So Dave, let's talk top six for 2017. What's it look like right now for you?
I've got three running backs, actually I have four running backs at the top. And remember, there's going to be a million things that change between now and next summer. But I did take a peek at the 2017 opponents as they stand right now. And I think Le'Veon Bell's got the best schedule of the big three running backs. That's Le'Veon, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott. And that's the order I have them in. Le'Veon doesn't face anybody in the NFC West. I believe it's the NFC North that he's going to go up against next year. I'm not sure, but I know he plays Cleveland twice. I believe it's the AFC South to go along with it. And I think he's got the best schedule. There's not going to be a suspension. He's got a great offense that he's on.
Is he still in Pittsburgh?
I'm making the assumption he's still in Pittsburgh. If he's not in Pittsburgh, then of course everything changes. I've got Bell 1, Johnson 2, Zeke 3. I've got LeSean McCoy as the placeholder at number 4. Can't bring myself to put Antonio Brown in that fourth spot just yet. I don't know if I like it. He's on the cusp of 2,000 career carries. He is certainly due for a breakdown. We don't know what the situation is going to be like in Buffalo, but
you mean with his
coach and his quarterback. Huh?
You mean with his coach and his quarterback.
Specifically the coach. But if it's Anthony Lynn, if everything stays the same, it's going to be a tough call because we know he's getting older. And then I've got Antonio Brown and then Odell Beckham. I haven't decided if I'm going to keep it that way or if I'm going to put Odell in front of Antonio again, but they've both been so good this year. Brown's got the schedule. That helps him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Le'Veon, Duke Johnson? No, David Johnson.
No Duke Johnson.
Ezekiel Elliott, LeSean McCoy, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham. Jamie, your top six.
I struggled really with the three guys because they're all so good and all have so much upside. The thing that I stuck with Zeke at one because I know what that offensive line is. And I know what his quarterback is. And that kind of, with Le'Veon's situation, if Le'Veon's back with Pittsburgh, nothing changes, no offseason problems, he's the best one. And I don't think it could be up for debate just because of what he does as an overall player. And Dave,
it can absolutely be up for debate.
I'm sorry, yes, I was trying to talk my way through that.
I feel like this is going to be where preparation starts for everybody next year, is figuring out which running back you like the best out of those first three.
That's if you're picking in the first three.
Well, you might not know what you're picking.
I guess the thing I was trying to say is I don't think it's the wrong choice with any of the three guys you get because there's so much potential with all of them. The thing that makes me concerned about David Johnson is, who's his quarterback? What's their offensive line look like? To me, he's got the most in flux.
Yeah. Yeah, he felt like the obvious third of the three to me, because I feel like I have to look at the numbers, but I feel like they will throw more touchdowns next year. He has really benefited so much from Carson Palmer just not throwing touchdowns. And on a per-carry basis, he just hasn't been as good as Le'Veon or Ezekiel Elliott. Not even close, really. And I still love him. He'd still be the number three pick, so I'm not trying to down. But you're kind of nitpicking here, and I feel like there could be some touchdown regression for him, more right. so than the other guys.
The thing I was trying to say about Le'Veon is David Johnson shattered the sophomore slump scenario. But could Zeke fall into that?
I don't think so. I
don't think so either, but I'm just, again, you have to nitpick very slightly with these guys because how great they all three could be. The thing that I like about Elliott's scenario is Dak will get better. That offensive line is still amazing. And he's the type of generational talent, I think, that could take advantage of the situation that's in front of him.
Yeah, he's really good. Now, what else I like about him is DeMarco Murray 2 years ago. I mean, we've seen it's not just Elliott. It's
well, even McFadden with nothing around him. McFadden got 1,100 yards.
Yeah. All right. So those are your top three. You're going Zeke, Bell, Zeke, Johnson, Bell. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And four through six.
Brown, Julio, Beckham. I still think those three receivers are amazing.
You're starting to worry about Julio Jones being injury prone because even this year when he was playing is lower extremity injury and coming out of the game and he's had some problems,
Sure. I mean, again, this is why we're talking about it now. I think just you can make a case for Mike Evans being there. You can make a case for AJ Green being there. You can make a case for Jordy Nelson still being there one more year. Like Dave said, McCoy, is in the conversation. It's hard to overlook DeMarco Murray and even Melvin Gordon.
Who's your fifth running back?
Probably Murray right now. He might be my fourth.
I'm nervous about Murray next year.
Yeah. I'm worried about Derrick Henry getting a bigger role. Murray's really slowing down. I don't know if you've noticed. I talked about this with Chris, but in his last like seven games or something, he has one carry with more than 13 yards.
Yeah. I want to see what the situation is in San Diego with who the coach is going to be and what that offensive line looks like
and whether or not Danny Woodhead is still there.
And you can make arguments for a lot of different guys. I mean, between Jordan Howard and how he's performed and his upside,
is he a first round pick though?
No, but I don't know if any of these guys are, to be honest with you.
I think the back end of round one is going to be a street fight. Like I don't think there's going to be any certain set way.
I think you're going to see that in that group. That's where two of Green, Evans, Jordy go.
I think all three might end up going there.
Oh yeah, no,
and I think Melvin Gordon and DeMarco Murray could end up going there too, just from people who don't listen to the podcast. I'm already prepared to keep those guys out of round one as best as I can.
Ajayi might be in that conversation, and same thing with Carlos Hyde if he's healthy. I mean, he was great.
I got three more names for you: Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey. We are going to get at least three first round running backs with tremendous talent, and we'll see where they end up. And I do think that people were hesitant to draft Zeke in the first round last year, and they might still be hesitant this year because nobody's going to be playing for Dallas. But these three guys, at least one of them could have huge, great NFL careers and great rookie seasons. And it's actually going to make me say that this is why you should be drafting wide receivers early, because the running back class is probably going to get even better with these rookies next year.
Right, but I think a lot of people aren't going to be afraid to reach, at least in the case of Fournette and Cook. I think they'll be willing to reach for them with a top 20 pick.
In your fantasy draft?
Fantasy draft.
Oh, it's going to depend where they go.
It's going to depend where they go. Yeah.
But
I'm looking forward to
it. I'll tell you what. Put Leonard Fournette on the Cleveland Browns. Where are you taking him?
Not before the fourth round.
Then you're not getting him.
Fine.
Okay.
The Browns, though. Why'd you have to put him on the Browns, Dave?
Huh? I'm trying to think of like the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations. Yeah.
What about Dalvin Cook on Jacksonville?
Same.
Jets.
I like him.
Yeah, no, if they go to like the Jets, I would be pretty going on third round.
To Jamie's point, it was a perfect storm with Ezekiel Elliott. You're talking about the best running back talent that had come out in a long time, going to a team with the best offensive line in the league.
He's no, well, I don't know that he's a better talent than Todd Gurley.
And he went from very good to great with a running quarterback in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a better talent than Todd Gurley was, because Gurley was coming off the knee injury. And I think Fournette and Cook are going to be looked at fairly favorably to him in terms of talent. Anyway, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be exciting to get new blood in there. I did a Twitter poll, Half-point PPR, who do you want next year? Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, or David Johnson?
Now, I bet everybody went toward Zeke because of the year he just had.
David Johnson had a pretty good year, too.
That's true.
Dave, Zeke was so far behind the other two. David Johnson, 44%. Le'Veon Bell, 43%. Elliott, 13%. Half-point PPR, so that's part of it. But
yeah, those guys do so much in the passing game. It'd be a different conversation if it was standard.
It would be. But, you know, Elliott, I could see him being a little more involved in the passing game. When they give him the ball in the passing game, he still does awesome. He's really good.
Maybe that's something they do more of next year.
Well, I think that's also Dak's evolution, you know, because young quarterbacks, they look down, they don't see something, they run, you know, so.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good at that, though. Dak, first of all, he always has time, so he doesn't have to. He can go through his progressions.
He can make a sandwich back there.
He can. I think that Elliott is pretty damn legit and would be good just about anywhere. Maybe not Minnesota, but just about anywhere. How do you guys feel about Dak? Do you think Prescott is a good quarterback on Minnesota?
He's not this, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what defensive coordinators are going to find out about him this offseason and whether or not he can stay ahead of them.
Yeah, be interesting.
And I think that could potentially hurt Ezekiel Elliott next year.
All right, you want to read some emails to finish the show?
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're going to look at some of the tough calls for Week 17, and then Friday we're not going to do the normal start sit stuff where we break down the AFC on Thursday and the NFC on Friday. We're going to do tough calls, kind of the iffy stuff tomorrow, and then we'll dig a little deeper into the rankings on Friday. And there's obviously no Thursday game, so. This one's from Joe. Dear Kane, Hal, Cersei, and Clark.
Well, Cersei's obvious.
Well, yeah, but I don't know any of the others from Game of Thrones. Is this, Game of Thrones. Must be Game of Thrones. Who the heck are these people? All right. Can you suggest some waiver ads that would be good keepers for next year?
We did this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Martavis Bryant.
Josh Doctson.
Josh Doctson. Austin Hooper.
Hooper.
Hunter Henry, if your league yes. isn't deep enough, mm-hmm. is like going to be the best tight end ever.
Marquise Lee.
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Lee, J.J. Nelson, those two guys have still plenty of potential going in next year. Trying to think of any running backs that you could find that got hurt. Maybe C.J. Anderson?
Maybe.
He's
maybe Capri
starter.
Bibbs.
Huh?
Maybe Capri Bibbs.
No, Anderson's going to be their guy next year.
Are there
maybe
any running backs?
Last.
Any running backs off the top of your head that you think could go somewhere in free agency and get a bigger role like a Rashad Jennings a few years ago?
Le'Veon Bell?
I don't know if he can get a bigger role.
Is there a backup that's...
That would be really interesting if the Steelers let him go. Because
would you pay him?
No, but if the Steelers let him go, then we would assume that he'd be close to the same guy on a new team, and the Steelers would replace him with somebody else.
They're going to franchise him.
Yeah, that's the thought.
Yep.
Now, I would think about Alex Collins because I like Thomas Rawls. I don't trust him to stay healthy. The man just is too fragile.
Oh, I think Procise would be the guy before Collins.
In the running game, too?
Yeah, I mean, look what he started to show before he got hurt.
Okay, yeah, then that's a good call. Procise is a good one. Okay, let's move on to our next email. This is from Chris in a North Shore town on Long Island.
North Shoreville.
Great neck. Let's just say great neck.
Okay.
All right. I was there on Saturday. Dear Merton Ryan.
Hanks had a great neck.
They have like a giraffe, I think, as their town logo. Great neck, you know. Dear Ryan, Geno, Bryce, and Christian. Ryan, Geno, Bryce, they're Jets quarterbacks. I have an interesting situation in my league. I'm looking for guidance. I'm the commissioner of a 14-team league we've been running since 2002. All friends since high school. It's an auction league with two keepers, and we use fab bidding for waivers. I have one owner who's threatening to leave the league because he feels his rule change requests are not heard. I want to keep the league whole at 14 teams. I'm trying to find ways to keep him on board. He was frequently requested the ability to trade future auction dollars for next year's draft, as well as current year waiver dollars in exchange for players. Have you ever been in a league where you could do this? Is it something you would be for or against? Have you ever been in a league where people could include FAB waiver dollars as part of their trade offers? Would you be in favor of that? So he wants to know both trading next year's auction dollars and this year's FAB dollars. And should I even be thinking this hard about it? Or should I just tell this guy to take a hike if he's unhappy?
I think there's a split decision here. I like the idea of trading current year FAB dollars to acquire a player. So if it's a $200 FAB budget and I can get somebody off your team for 50 of my FAB dollars, I think that should be allowed. I don't like the idea of trading future dollars.
Hmm. Have you guys ever done anything like this?
I haven't. No.
Yeah, I mean, does this guy really have to leave the league just because of this? I mean, what a baby.
He's being a baby if he thinks that his suggestions aren't being heard. But as the commissioner, I would tell him, all right, put something down on paper, send it to the league, and let's take a vote on it. That's what we do in my keeper league. We'll hear anything.
Yeah.
Anything that could potentially improve the enjoyment and entertainment value of the league, we will do.
Here's a guy, just I was looking up, sorry, while you were talking, that if he switches teams, could he be good just based on what we're seeing so far? Latavius Murray.
Could be. I wonder if his lack of the Raiders coaching staff's lack of dedication to him would be a sign of bad things to other teams.
Well, there's also the flip side of that, that when they have committed to him, that he's performed well.
Maybe.
He's performed well. I would have expected him to perform better behind that offensive line.
Is he this year's Lamar Miller? Where maybe a little bit of underuse, however slight it might be, and he goes and changes teams, and the next team says, oh, we're going to use Latavius Murray, blah, 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 and then he doesn't ever meet the expectations.
Like Latavius Murray in Philly.
He'd be a great fit. There's no denying it, but we're also talking about a coaching staff in year one that has been very up and down with how they use their running backs.
I think it also speaks to who they had at their running backs.
And Latavius Murray, I don't know if he's the guy that's going to change
I'm just thinking
change
a team that, you know, the Giants.
Like, if Le'Veon Bell went to Philadelphia, then I think they'd ride Le'Veon Bell,
of course,
week after week after week. But with Latavius, I'm not sure that they would do that.
Well, look, Latavius isn't a free agent, so... I mean, for a fantasy free agent. This is what I would say to Chris from Great Neck. Yeah, let the league vote on it. If the league votes no... then if this guy wants to leave, then let him leave. Like, it's ridiculous.
Right, at least he's been heard.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Next up. And, oh, no name here. Dave, give me a name.
Paula.
Paula. Dear Sean, Hunter, Billy, and Road.
I got two words for you.
What?
Suck it.
Okay, this is wrestling. Moral question about, I have a moral question here about winnings in a work league and I need help. I split ownership of a fantasy team with a coworker who has left the company. We've played together before, all under the agreement that I basically do all the draft prep, all the work basically, and he just splits the fee. We've always ended up in the money and under this deal, pretty beneficial for him. Well, we won the league, which is great, but since we no longer work in the same space, my co-owner never got around to paying me his half of the entry fee. I fronted it all myself. He stopped responding to my messages in September. We live near each other. I bumped into him since without talking about the league. Do I still call it even and pay him his half, less his part of the entry fee, or just say this was the last time? Oh, and just say this was the last time. Or since he hasn't paid, do I keep it all? It was $500 winning for him.
Wow.
Yeah, right? It's tough.
You give him his money, less the entry fee, and then if he approaches you in the summer about playing the league again, tell him he's got to pay up front.
I think that's the right thing to do.
But even though this guy did absolutely nothing, he was all he was supposed to do was
pay. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, he didn't give up his money at the beginning of the year. He didn't help run the team.
Right.
He had very little say in running the team. This guy did all the work. A case could be made for the guy who's still with the company to say, hey, look, man, I did everything. If you had even just given me the money before the season started, we wouldn't even have this debate. But you didn't even do that.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a tough call. Like, if he's your friend, you have to pay
him. And
let
me tell you something else. If this were a business, like a real-life business, the guy that put up the money for the business would be the full owner of the business. You don't just say, all right, I'll start a business with you, and then you go away for 6 months, and then when the business is a success, you show up and say, okay, I'm here. let's go, business time, hooray. You can't do that.
That's hasn't even brought it up. That's the thing. Like the other owner. So he doesn't even know.
I'm changing my tune. And if I'm a jerk for doing it, so be it.
I'm not paying him. I'm not doing it.
This guy didn't pay in the first place. Did he even say, oh yeah, I'll get to it. It just sounds like he wasn't that interested.
All right, a few more questions. Mike from Tampa. Dear Derek, Marcus, and Tyler. Are those Mariota, Carr? Is there a Tyler or the same quarterback class?
Was Tyler Bray in that class? I don't think he was.
Oh, these are guys who got injured last week. Tyler Lockett.
Oh, yeah.
All right, a few comments from Mike. Love Team Name Tuesday, but let's just keep it to Tuesday. Don't oversaturate the market. The Curse of the Bonanza is awesome and should never be skipped. Adam's singing is a welcome interruption to the show most times. Dave's Christmas rap written by Adam was epic and should become a running thing every year.
Dave's Christmas rap was written by Dave.
Yeah, I know. I just love getting credit for that because it was pretty awesome. No, I didn't do that. But thank you, Mike. Derek from a town in eastern Massachusetts, Dave.
Boston Harbor.
I have Dak, but should I pick up Bortles or Stafford?
Yes, Bortles.
Yes.
Bortles? All right. Jared from Illinois. I was involved in a trade earlier this year. I traded Le'Veon Bell. Well, he traded Brady and Latavius Murray, actually, and he got Le'Veon Bell. It got vetoed. He basically got vetoed because he would end up with Bell and David Johnson as his keepers. One guy said the trade was fair, but he didn't want me to have those two keepers for years to come. Our settings allow for only two keepers. Is that fair, or are people being kind of jerks about it?
So I think the question is, do you evaluate the trade based on the players involved in the trade, or do you evaluate the trade based in how the team looks after the trade?
And it's what the first thing you said. You are not allowed to be like, well, your team's too good. You can't make that trade. No.
Right.
It's a fair trade. It should absolutely not have been vetoed. Good job, Jared. You have David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. And finally, John, in a city near you, Miami.
As in us or a city near you?
Yeah, I'm going to put him in Miami. Dear Nick, Urban, Dabo, and Chris.
College coaches.
Semifinals.
Final four, right.
Yeah, playoffs, yeah. Pick one of these players to keep. We keep three. It is a standard scoring 12-team league. Philip Rivers, DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller, Devontae Adams, Doug Baldwin, CJ Fedorowicz.
Well, Fedorowicz for sure.
You're saying pick three? I think he only needs one.
Yeah, he's got Julio Jones and AJ Green. So
we're only picking one of those guys now.
Rivers, Murray, Miller, Adams, Baldwin, Fedorowicz.
I think it's got to be Murray.
He will probably go ahead of Miller in drafts next summer.
Is that who you take?
What if it's the Tony Romo-led Texans?
For how many games? Two? Before Tony gets hurt? Then it's back to Osweiler? Or Savage? It's still Murray.
Okay.
I would. Here's what I think you should do. You should keep Murray and then try and flip him in a trade before the season starts.
But what are you getting for him, though?
You'll get more for him than you will for Lamar Miller.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but, I mean, Murray's still going to be a first-round pick. So
trade him for a first-round pick.
But, again, what are you getting for him?
Well, this owner also has Julio and A.J. Green, so
those guys
DeMarco Murray will give you at least a running back to start the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're keeping DeMarco Murray, but I don't think you're trading.
And is the plan going to be for him just make sure you get Derrick Henry in round six?
Sure.
Like, is that going to be the caveat to drafting DeMarco Murray next year?
I would take him earlier than that. You know,
you
one
would
of
take
the things
Henry before round six.
Yeah, because I believe. Well, we'll see. I believe in reaching for your handcuff if it's a good handcuff. Like I reached a little bit for Spencer Ware, and as the Charles owner.
Well, I guess in this particular scenario where there's already three guys off the board, it would be before round six. Yes.
Sure, but all right. You know what? Topic for another show. Thank you, Dave and Jamie. This was a good time. Tomorrow we dive into week 17. We'll help you set your lineups and win a championship. See you later.
Yay.
Bye.